Jesus loved difficult people. Okay, Kerry Cox told me they chose me for this one, and Lynn also said, because I help facilitate this class called Healing is a Choice that we do at the Crossings Church in St. Charles, Missouri. And the class is about dealing with your past hurts, habits, and hang-ups, which everybody has, right? Everybody has those things in your life that, you know, even if you don't know what it is exactly, you don't understand why you feel so crappy about yourself. That was me, okay? I thought I had a pretty good life. My dad's a missionary. I thought things were pretty well, but I just didn't understand why I just felt so bad about myself. And that's why I went to, one of the reasons I went to the Crossings and decided, you know, to start dealing with my life. And, well, that's why Kerry told me that he wanted to, but wanted me to teach this one. But I think it's because I'm one of those difficult people. Okay? I'm stubborn. Okay, and Kerry can tell you that, right? Sometimes I will not listen to what you say. I will do whatever I want. Okay? Or I will listen and still do what I want. But loving difficult people, it sucks, right? Everybody's thinking, you know, why couldn't God just make all these perfect people, you know, or make my life easier and give me the people that are going to excel and are going to do really well, just the naturals, right? But life isn't that easy. My dad's a missionary, and he's been in Brazil for about, I think, 35 years now. I was born there, and I came up to the Crossings because my dad met Robert, met Kerry, and he told me all these great things about him. And I lost a job in Brazil and started deciding some things about my life. And I came up to the Crossings, and I was going to be there for 2 years, and then I was going back to Brazil. So I've been here for almost 4 years now. Okay, and people keep asking me, "So Ben, when are you going to leave?" And I'm like, "Why are you asking me this all the time?" You know? It's like, "So when are you going back to Brazil?" I'm like, "Okay. I get it." Well, when I was in Brazil, we have a draft, okay? We have the draft, they're still in the military. And they don't pick a lot of people, but in your city, they do the selection, and they have this army base in the city where I was. And I had to go there for the selection. And they told me, "Oh, don't worry about it. They don't get many people. You probably won't be chosen." So I was kind of nervous when they were dismissing everybody else, and it was me and another guy from the day that I went. I was like, "Oh, this doesn't look good. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" You know, and he's like, "Yeah." So I did get picked. I did everything I could not to get picked. I'm telling you, my sister knew some politicians. You know, in Brazil there's some corruption, you know, so I thought, you can do anything to get out of this thing. So I really tried to get out of it, but they got me, and I remember the day that I was in the class and everybody knew they were caught because they gave you the uniform and, you know, all the stuff, and you knew you were there for a year. And the sub-lieutenant's like, you know, he's kind of making these jokes. "Oh, there are even these guys that try to get out of it, you know." And people do different things. They'll go in limping or something, you know, so they won't get caught, you know. And those are the ones that usually get caught. And he's like, "Yeah, there was even this guy that talked to a politician friend of his." And I'm like, "Who is the idiot?" You know, I was like, "I hope he doesn't know my name." But that was me. Well, while I was in there, because I think God wanted me to be in there, because I was a lazy bum before then, the Army really taught me discipline. I really feel today that I needed that. And they had another selection where they did for corporals. We had the shooters, and then they chose some guys from that group to be corporals. And I'm very shy. But I was chosen in a selection to try to be one, and I got there. So the first thing we had to do, they give us 6 guys. And these 6 guys is how I was going to learn how to command. You know, go this way or go that way or whatever we're going to do, right? So when you get into this thing, you have 40 points. And when those 40 points are over, you're doomed. You have to come next year and do it all over again. So you don't want to lose the 40 points. And there was only one guy that happened to. I don't know what he did, but it was pretty bad, I heard. So that's the guy you wish you wouldn't have to learn with. And he was the guy who was there. You know, he was all cocky, you know. "Oh, I know this place. I've been here a year. You know, I know how to do. I know everything. You don't need to tell me what to do." And I'm like, yeah, obviously, right? He's there for the second year. He's pretty smart. So I go to command these guys because they told me these are your guys. And I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, do this. You know the orders are all like this with their guns. And they didn't move. I was like, what's going on? Did I say it wrong? You know, did I stutter or something? And so I said it again and they didn't do anything. So the guy was there and then they're kind of laughing around. You know, it's like, so what I think happened, this guy told him, you know, wouldn't it be funny if we just didn't do anything? You know? And that's exactly what happened. He goes, you don't have an active voice here. Why do we have to do what you're telling us to? I'm like, Jesus, no, why me, the shy guy, you know, why did you, you know? And I think that was one of the best things that happened to me. Because I had to learn to stand up, you know, and tell him. I had to get this guy to do it. And in the end, he did, you know. I made it kind of scared, you know, about staying a third year there or something like that. But in the end, he did it. And I think God put a difficult person in my life so that I could grow. So that I would have to deal with him. There is no way we're going to get out of having difficult people. If you're going to mature, you're going to have to learn to deal with people that aren't the easiest around. And you probably know who I'm talking about, right? You got that one person that you're like, oh my gosh, if I could just kick him out. Right, kick him out of my ministry. Kick him out of, you know, my small group or whatever it is. I know everybody has theirs. The first point here is, if you're going to mature, you will deal with difficult people. And what is so difficult about these people? Maybe they're annoying. You know, they got those little quirky things that you hate. Maybe they talk too loud. You know? Maybe they're prideful, arrogant. You know? Those things that none of you have, right? And those are the things that just, you know, eat at us. You know, it's like that person says something, you're like, you're like your skin, like, you know those people? You know who I'm talking about. Okay, they have annoying things. Maybe they smell bad. I don't know. They always come and talk to you. They never stop. You know, I have a question, you know. For those who I'm talking about. Okay, always come with you questions at all times and stuff. Or they're different. Maybe you have some prejudice. You know, the person struggles with something that you don't and you think it's horrible. You know? Sexual addiction. How can this guy, you know, be in the church and have problems with that? Struggle with homosexuality. That's one that I feel a lot of people have a tough time accepting people for. You know, that they deal with that struggle. You know? And sometimes it's one of our prejudices. And other times, and I feel this is a lot of what happens, you know that you don't know exactly why, but you just can't stand that guy? Oh, I can't stand that guy, you know? Gets at me. And usually what it is, and I was reading this like with a book by Charles Whitfield, which is called Healing the Inner Child. And it has to do, the person has certain things that you don't like about them because they're actually what you don't like about yourself. And that's what you think you are. And that's why it's so difficult to accept them, because you don't accept those things in yourself. So when they do it, you're like, ooh, that guy's just weird. And somebody else would tell you, yes, that's you most of the time. Right? Oh. And that can happen a lot. So there are different reasons that we can't stand for or that makes them difficult. Guys, we all have our own problems, right? Who here has problems? Yeah, that guy over there didn't really have it. Okay, everybody here falls short. Let's read Romans. I'm going to read Romans 3, verses 22 through 24. And it says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus. Guys, nobody's different, right? Okay, God accepts everybody and He loves everybody. Here are the people that you can't stand that are so difficult. Right? And if we keep that in perspective, it changes a lot of things. If we are honest with ourselves that we might not be the easiest people in the world. I know I'm not. I can be easy sometimes, you know, when I want to. But there are those times when I'm in the office, right? And I'm trying to get my work done, and Sean and Chris was here before, they're shouting, and one's choking the other, you know, and I'm trying to crunch numbers there. Like, okay, get out of my office. That was me one time. Okay, and everybody looks at me, is he serious? And I was that time. You remember that time, right? And they look at me kind of like, what a jerk, you know. I'm like, I was being a jerk. But they, you know. And then somebody in the back of the office says, yeah, at least somebody said something. You know, I'm like, why didn't you say it? Why is it always me that has to be the bad guy in this situation? But I can be a difficult person also. And some of you are like, yeah. Right, Katie? Katie's come to talk to me before about some things, which I'm grateful for. We might not be a walk in the park either. And to somebody in the world, you are that difficult person, right? Some of you may know that, right? And you kind of milk that, you know, it's like... Okay. We can't be quick to judge. We don't know where people have been. Right? Everybody here has a story, right? Each one of you looks back and you think, well, you know, you're not loving me. You don't know what I've been through. If you knew... you would be different. And I know that for myself of some things that I feel. They look at my life and say, well, a missionary's kid, you know, what does he have? You know, but I struggle with a lot of things also. I've even struggled in the past with suicide. And I've been in the church for a long time. But everybody has their story. And maybe that person's story that is so difficult to deal with, if you just knew, it would be completely different, right? I remember Bekele, the guy that, you know, was in the... If you're a corporal, you have to be the commander of the guard for once a month. And he's the guy nobody wanted to get, right? You didn't want to get him because he was going to do something crazy, you know? And one day he got another guy's motorcycle and he's running around the thing. And I had to run after him with it. It's like, oh, why did I get this guy? And then we sat down one night. You know, he couldn't sleep. I had to stay up. We sat down and we talked about stuff. And he told me about his life and he started crying. His dad was a very successful businessman, had a huge company, gave him anything he wants except time. He even gave him drugs. His own dad even did that for him because he didn't give a crap. Seriously. And I looked at it and I'm like, dude, if that happened to me, I think I'd be like you. You know, I think I'd have those problems. I think I would feel hatred against authority about anybody that tries to tell me what to do. The person who should have been there for him, right? And that's why they're difficult. So everybody has a story. They do what they do for a reason, right? We hope that we could think, well, you know, this guy, but this guy is just evil. He's the devil, right? Okay, this guy is. I found him, you know, the Antichrist. This is him. Don't you hope that for that guy? And then they say, you're right, let's just take him out before he does something worse. But most of the time, no, we didn't find that. Every time I didn't find him. Really. These are people who have problems, right? Who struggle, whose things happen in their lives. And we need to be more sensitive about it. Maybe they're doing well, right? Maybe the step that they took is that for you would be like, well, he didn't do much. For him, it's huge. You understand what I'm saying? For him, that for this person that has been through so much, for him to love somebody or do something different, it's a lot more difficult than it is for you. And we need to be attentive to those things. I hate it when people come and tell me everything that's wrong with me. Of course, everybody hates that, right? Let me tell you what's wrong with you. Okay, yeah, come on, tell me. Right? Everybody's excited about it. What does it help to do that? If somebody comes and tells you everything that's wrong with you, I I'm going to leave. I get it. There's no hope for me. I'm just getting out of here. And some guys in my group will come up and say, yeah, this guy, I don't know why you put up with what he has. You know, you should get rid of him. And I'm like, yeah, but look what he's been through. And look what he's done. Look at the steps he's taken. If I go and just tell him everything that's wrong with him, there's no hope. he's not going to be able to change. He's going to have no motivation to do anything. But if I'm understanding and patient and help him to take things, he will get somewhere instead of getting nowhere. We can't be quick to judge people. The second point here is we need to start thinking like Jesus if we're going to be mature. Right? Obvious. Right? But this has a lot to do with loving people that are difficult. Jesus loved difficult people, right? I took business administration in my undergrad, and it was general, but one of the classes I liked was marketing. And marketing is all about positioning, right? The price, there's the four P's, right? The price, promotion, position, place, something like that. I know I missed something there, but... And when I see Jesus' plan, you know, and the guys that he chose to deal with, I was like, Jesus, you know, this is not a good marketing plan, right? You need to go to the guys that everybody's going to look at, and yeah, I want to follow that guy, right? Of course, now you know not, right? Jesus' plan about the guys he picked sounds weird. Why would he choose fishermen, people who are uneducated, nobody knows who they are, they're from Galilee? The only one that wasn't from Galilee, which wasn't a place where, you know, you wanted to say you were from, was Judas, right? And, you know what happened to him. So Jesus' plan seems weird. He went after people that I guarantee we would not go after. At least I wouldn't. You know, I look for some people, they look pretty good. You know, they know things, they're really smart, right? They're going to be able to go like... They're going to make this thing work. No, Jesus chose these difficult people, like Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He was grumpy, brash, abrasive. He spoke without thinking, right? He's just like that guy that you expect to just say anything. He had issues with loyalty, right? He abandoned his friend even though he told him he wasn't, right? Peter was a difficult guy to deal with. In Luke 5, 1 through 9, and I'm going to tell you these stories because... I don't think we have much time. It's the passage where Jesus is, the crowd is, you know, coming, you know, he's right next to the Sea of Galilee, I think it is. And there's a big crowd, so, you know, he goes out, he gets into Peter's boat. Remember that? And then he asks Peter to take the boat out a little so he can preach. And Peter had just been fishing, right? Is fishing an easy job? No, right? You know those difficult jobs, like the deadliest catch and stuff. It's about fishing. I don't think they did that, right? Okay. But it's hard, right? You carry heavy stuff, and you have to do a lot of things. And Peter was tired, but it's Jesus, right? You know, it's the Messiah. Well, he didn't know that yet, but it's Jesus, and he's this master, and he's getting famous. Okay, let's go out. Maybe he's a good guy. Okay, he goes out there and preaches, and of course I'd expect, you know, he used my boat, he'd come back and, you know, say, you know, you're a great guy. Instead of that, he asks him to go fishing again. Okay, what's wrong with you, Jesus? You know, that's just torture, right? And what does Peter say? Yes, let's go fishing. No, he says, well, we've been fishing all night, you know, and since I'm a fisherman, I know we're not going to get anything, right? But since it's you, since it's Jesus, we'll go out there and do this. Right? Do you think he really wanted to go? No. So they go out there. He throws his nets, right, expecting, you know, okay, here he goes. Right? Expecting he's not going to get anything, and it's full. Right? And in the middle of the thing, I don't think he was even thinking. He was happy, right? I'm getting these fish. He called more people to help him. And then he finally realized, right? What's going on here? Who is this guy who knows so much about fishing? No. But who is this guy who knows all this, even though he's not a fisherman? And Peter, and I think that's one of the really good things of Peter, you know, he noticed what happened. Then in Mark 8, 31 through 33, okay, after he had already chosen, you know, that Peter was following him and all, Jesus made another marketing strategy of telling people that he was going to be killed. Guys, I'm going to be killed. How would you feel? But person that you expected to take over the Roman Empire and we're going to have our glory back, tells you that they're going to die soon. That's not a very good strategy, right? And I'm sure that's what Peter was thinking. Peter's like, oh, maybe that's not a good idea. Right? They're going to get upset. What does Jesus tell him? Anybody remember?
He says, get out of my way, Satan.
Calls him Satan. Jesus was a sensitive guy, sensible. He didn't just call everybody Satan, right? Okay, he wasn't that guy. Oh yeah, there he goes again. He's calling people Satan. No. This was pretty serious, right? Wasn't this serious? Peter did something. Can you imagine? You're the Son of God. You know what's going on, and you're telling this is going to happen. And this guy, Peter, the guy who, is always doing things that you don't like, he comes over and says that to you. So this should be the moment that Jesus says, okay, I made a mistake. Let's kick this guy out. Okay, he's Satan. Jesus called him Satan. No. He helped Peter to get through that, right? In Matthew 18:21, you expect after that one Peter would learn, but he comes up and asks Jesus, it's the one about forgiveness, right? And it was Peter that asked. I'm like, Peter, what's wrong with you? Okay, he comes up, so Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? Why is he asking this question? Because he's a really forgiving guy? He wants to know the minimum, right? He wants to know, what can I, when do I kick this guy out? When do I tell him, I don't like it anymore? That's what he was expecting, right? And Jesus told him, 15 times. 15 times and you're good. No. He told him, what was it?
7 times 70.
7 times 70, right? I think Peter was actually, probably was like, wait a minute. Crap. I'm sure, I don't know, maybe I would have done that too, Let me figure out that guy, because I'm sure he had somebody he was thinking of. But Peter, again, the guy who probably needs more forgiveness than anybody, because of the stuff he does. But and then in Matthew 26:31-35, it's where Jesus tells them that they're going to betray him. And here comes Peter again, right? Arrogant. Even though he saw everything that Jesus did and saw that Jesus knew all these things, he still comes out and says, you're wrong. I know. I'm the guy. I got your back, Jesus. Nobody's going to take you. I'll die with you. And it happened exactly as Jesus told him. Peter was a difficult guy, right? But what did Peter do after that? Amazing things. He was the leader among the apostles, right? He was the leader. He was the one who talked first about the gospel. He went and talked about the gospel to the Gentiles, even though he probably didn't want to. I don't know these people, right? Peter did amazing things. And he was a very difficult guy. James and John, sons of thunder. Why do you think they got that number, right? That little nickname. They were difficult people. Right? When the Samaritans, everybody hates them. I knew it. When the Samaritan town didn't want to, help Jesus, what did they say? They want to destroy, right? Now Jesus got to be behind us. They're Samaritans. Right? They're difficult people. No. They were brash. They were ambitious guys. Remember that? They're like, Jesus, we have this great idea. We're brothers. Why don't one of us, James and John, why don't one of us sit on your left and the other one on your right? Awesome idea, right? No. So can you imagine if you were one of the other guys? And you're like, you all want that position, of course. And they're like, what are these guys talking about, Of course, Peter, James, and John were part of the core group, right? Jesus took him with him up to the Mount of Transfiguration. I guess that's why they felt, they were in a little more with Jesus. But they were difficult guys. And probably most of us, or at least talking about myself, I would say no. I need an easier guy. I need a guy that's going to listen to what I say. But Jesus, that was not what Jesus did. And then the obvious one is Judas. And then you say, okay, if he didn't make a mistake on the other guys, he made a mistake on this guy. Do you think Jesus loved Judas? Do you think he loved him less than the others? No. I am sure that if Judas came back and he repented, Jesus would take him back in a heartbeat, right? He loved him. He knew he had problems, like all the others had problems. He knew that. But he did wrong, right? He repented, right? But the sad thing is, you know, he threw the coins back into the temple, right? He noticed what he did after the leaders had condemned him, right? And he was upset. And he could have had salvation, right? And repentance. He could have gone and talked, Jesus, I'm really sorry. And Jesus probably said, I know. I know you did wrong. And do better from here on. Right? But we probably would think differently. And say, no, this guy, he's too difficult. He doesn't listen. He betrayed. Get him out of here. And we might have done that sometimes. Third point is, you're going to have to dream for these people because God does. The people that you look at and you think, oh, why? You know, why did I go invite this guy? Or why did I go talk to this guy? You know, why did I sit next to him? Maybe that person is going to do a lot more than you're going to do. God has plans for each one of you, right? And you know you're not that easy sometimes. But he still has plans for you. And he has plans for everybody that's around you. And they're great plans. And isn't it the coolest thing when the person that is that difficult person that has so many problems and so many things, God works in him and he is transformed into something beautiful. And he is helping people, and his story is, I was that idiot. I was horrible. And Jesus, God, worked with me, and I am where I am today. Right? That's how Jesus thought. Because he knew the good guys, the ones that I probably would have chosen, you know, let's see who knows, you know, about the Bible. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and other guys, masters of the law. He didn't choose those guys. He chose people that were the low, right? Let's look at a passage here. 1:26-28. I'm going to read this one. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. He chose those guys because he knew what he could do with them, right? After it's through, after I look at my life, and guys, I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life. Stupid, stupid decisions. And I am amazed that I am up here talking to you guys. Okay? And that God is using me. Because I thought for a point there that I even thought about leaving the church. Because I thought I was just that hypocrite and I'm not going to make it and God can't use me. And I decided differently because I remembered Jesus loves me no matter what, right? If there's one person in this world that actually cares about me, it's Jesus. And since then, since I decided, okay, I'm not going to rely on myself so much, God has been able to change my life. And I'm up here talking to you guys because I did all the crap. But you know the passage in Isaiah 42:3? Let's go there real quick. Isaiah Isaiah 42, 3. And he's talking about the servant of the Lord. He's talking about Christ, you know, his coming and what he's going to do. And he says, here's, starting in 1, here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. What is a bruised reed? Reed is kind of a plant, right? It's this long thing they use to attach houses and, you know, in construction they use in the past. If it's bruised, it means it's broken, right? And there's a point it's weak right there in that point. And what do you do with it when it's bruised? Somebody's going like this because you know, right?
Yeah, you just break them off.
You break them off and you burn them, right? There's nothing you can do with a bruised reed. And then the smoldering wick is, you know, on a candle, okay? It's when the wick isn't very good anymore, maybe it got too much humidity or something on it, you know, it's too small, you pull it out and you make another one, right? You snuff it out and then you get rid of it, right? It says those things that you would look at and you'd say, this is trash, I'm going to throw this away, those are the things that Jesus looks at and says, you have no idea what I can do with this guy. If we're going to think of like Jesus, we're going to have to think like that. Of the difficult people that God puts in our lives. The people that you would say, no, that's not the guy. Jesus has a love for those people. And in the end, who has the glory for what happens to this person? Is it the person? No. Because by my own decisions, I was going nowhere. I was going down. But when I decided to do things the way God wanted me to, and I still make mistakes, things changed for me. Who knows Andrew Peterson? I know Carrie over there knows. I know some. Andrew Peterson's a singer-songwriter, and I'd recommend you check him out. He writes amazingly, and Carrie was the one who introduced me like to his music. And I remember I had a drive of 20 minutes, like from the office where I worked over to when I lived at Robert Cox's house. And I'd listen to his songs and I'd just cry. Like, you know those things, you're singing the song like loud, you know, and it's touching you. Hope nobody's seeing you. I had tinted windows, so it looked good. Yeah. It was bad. I didn't even look in the mirror when I was doing this. But the song just touches you so much, you know? And there's a song that's one of my favorite of his, probably my favorite song. It says, and the name of the song is Just As I Am. You can imagine what, you know, the song's about. But there are several lines in that song that I love. One of them is, he's talking about what I'm afraid of, you know? It says, it's the fear that his love is no better than mine. Seriously, if Jesus' love is like mine, we're in trouble. But the truth is, it's not. Jesus' love is so much deeper and so much more merciful than we can even imagine. Right? If he loved me, and if he loved some others of you, right? You know, yes, thank you, Jesus. That, and sometimes I do say that because I realize that it's the truth. Right? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the different love that he has, which is completely different than mine. And he loves me personally. These people that are so difficult and that we try to get out of all the time, they will make God proud. I know pride is not good, but there is a good kind of pride, right? Where God looks down and sees this person listened to me. You know, and he was down in the dump, the bottom of the barrel, and he decided to listen to me. And this is what he does today, right? And God looks at him in this, I don't know if Jesus is like looking at him and crying, you know, seeing what God has done to that person. They will make God proud. Abraham, You know, Abraham took a long time to actually leave his family, right? To leave his land. And can you imagine God, okay, Abraham, you know, you need to get out of here. You know, next year he then, Abraham, you know, when are you going to get out of him? When do you stop? Well, with Abraham, God knew he was going to send this guy out. And even when he was out, he did what God told him. He went to Egypt, he did some bad stuff, you know, he still messed up. But what do we know Abraham as today? Faithful, right? The example, the extreme of faith. Everything okay with him? Okay, he was faithful. Jacob, now this guy was bad, right? Okay, he was like a con artist. You know, he's a guy you can't trust for anything. And his family, his 12 sons were the tribes of Israel. Amazing, right? Moses, short temper. Remember? Like the guy was messing with the Israelite, he went over there and killed him. Like, whoa. Moses, what are you doing, man? Even the guy was like, you're going to kill me too? What's wrong with this? Gideon. Now this guy. Okay, I love the story of Gideon because I'm like, he knew he was the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. And then some more, right? And he knew it. He told him, God, I'm the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. You have no idea. Okay, you can't do this. I'm not your guy. I know you're never wrong, but I'm not your guy. And then even after he said, okay, but he said, he tested him, right? And God did amazing things with him. There's Peter. There's Ben. Me. When I was talking to Carrie, Carrie's like, yeah, sometimes I'm the difficult. I know I can be difficult to people and people just leave because, you know, they're fed up or something like that, right? But God uses Carrie for amazing things. They will make God proud. They will make us that much better. And I learned this going through Healing is a Choice. And Healing is a Choice calls, there's a section in it, and it's about embracing your life, you know? You have all this stuff that went on in your life, and you just want it to go away. Healing is a Choice tells you to embrace it. Make it part of who you are, and use that. And it talks about embracing the abrasive, right? And something abrasive is something that, like, is sandpaper, right? Oh, guys, I hate those people, right? And the book talks about embracing those people. Because in the book they call them grace growers, and character builders. You're a character builder. If somebody ever tells you that, it's not good. Somebody tells you that, they're, you know, you're the difficult person. But that's what they are. Because they're going to take you out of your comfort zone. They're going to make you get out of your skin, probably, like, you know, sometimes. But those are the people who are going to help you to grow. Who you're going to have to love in a different way. And you're going to have to be like Jesus to love them. We're always trying to get out of those things, right? And I say that right because I am one of those people who always try to get out, you know? And today when, you know, when I have somebody that, you know, that I'm like, I didn't really want to have to deal with this person. I go, maybe God wants this person in here. Like the guy in the army, right? I am sure today that God wanted that guy there because I wasn't able to help him to come to Christ. But in my life, he played a big role. I wanted to tell you a story. And I know we have 3 minutes. Actually, it's 11:50, right? Never done. About 7. There's this guy in the south of Brazil in the church. When my dad went to São Paulo, which is a very large city in the southeast of Brazil, we came from London, from Paraná, which is the state where I was born. And he left there a guy that he was mentoring. His name was Claudio. And they had this thing they decided to do, you know, where they would survey people, you know, and then they'd invite him to come to church or to like a group study or something like that. So they'd go to different places in town, like the city hall or like a park or something, and they'd go in two people. So they were there. It was the preacher and this other guy named Tino. So there was this guy sitting down, and Tino's like, Claudio, what about that guy over there? You know, and you looked at this guy and you know that he struggled with homosexuality. He was very flamboyant. He was even kind of weird. He'll tell you. He's the one telling me this story, you know, about himself. And Tina's like, why don't we go talk to that guy over there? And the preacher, Claudio, he's like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if he can help that guy. And he's like, no, we have time. Let's go talk to him. So they went over there. They did their little survey, you know, invited him to come. And then they're walking away. And the guy says, hey, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. And calls him back. And like, what? He's like, do you guys sin? And they said, yeah. He's like, yeah, but aren't you baptized? Aren't you saved? I thought after that happened, you didn't sin anymore. He says, no, we struggle with it. You know, we still have our weaknesses and we fall, but it's because of who Christ is that, you know, because of his mercy that we're able to do what we do and that we're able to have salvation, not because of what we do. And he liked that answer. That night, he was supposed to get a ticket. He had a ticket to go to 3 states above, like the state around, to go home. And instead of taking that bus, he went to this Bible study there that night. You know? And then he left it. You know, he liked it a lot. He met the people that were there. There weren't many people. He left. And he went to the state where he was. He brought all his things. And he moved to that city to be part of that church. The strange thing, they didn't know he was doing that. He told them later, I'm moving here because of this. Today, he is one of the leaders of that church. And he's changed a lot of people's lives. And this guy was the bottom, you know, he did sex shows on stage. Okay? He'll tell you, he said, then I was messed up. And that guy, isn't that awesome to see a person who knows that they're down there and that guy and that God builds them up to be one of his servants? What if Claudio had said, no, we're not gonna go talk to that guy? You know? What if you have said that about something that God had awesome plans about? Right? And just because they were difficult and they were out of your comfort zone and you were going to have to maybe tell them things that you don't want to and you're going to have troubles, God didn't use that person. I hope God's more merciful than that. I know he is, and he'll find other people. But that's who we need to go after. You know, we need to realize those people are there because God wants them there. Make the best that you can. If you're going to mature, you're going to have to deal with people who are difficult. Thank you, guys.